Hello, hello.
Roger.
Hello.
Hey, Big Dog, how you doing this morning?
There you are.
Yeah, I know. I can't believe it. I did my intro and I was muted. Son of a, whatever. Okay. Music ended and I was babbling to myself, apparently. I'm not going to do that all over again. Good morning, everyone. Sports Talk with the guys. Home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday. Can't believe I was muted. Son of a, whatever. Big Dog, how are you?
I am doing just fine. I was half expecting to see, you know, a blast from the past. Hearing that music, I was picturing you walking out from the dugout. You know, I mean, from the left field fence to come into the game.
Oh, no, I'm not walking out anywhere, Big Dog. I got nailed on Monday night. I've been down for the count for a while. I've got a bruise of bruises. But anyway, Big Dog, we'll get to that in a moment. I want to bring on the Southern Gentleman from Southeast America. He is the gentleman of gentlemen. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Doing good, guys. Happy weekend to you.
Same to you.
Yes, happy weekend. Yes, good morning. And finally, I want to bring on the dream of dream, the one that women and some men dream of. Of course, it is Dream himself. How are you, Dream, from Southwest America? What's going on?
I am wonderful. I'm glad I remembered what day it was, and I remembered to set my alarm because I did not want to miss another week of Sports Talk, man.
I am glad. I'm glad, Dream. It's always very much a thrilling Oh my God, we have yet another soul. And we're going to bring him up. We pretty much know who this is. No one in the chat room. What the hell? Where are you people in the chat room? But you know what? We know him. Actually, his co-host gave him a brand new name. If you missed it, it was 2 weeks ago. It was one hell of a story. And I think it's great. Let's bring on Corn Beef Clark.
Corn beef couch.
Yeah, you say couch, we say Clark. Good morning, Corn Beef Couch. How are you? That was a hell of a story, dude.
Well, you guys brought it out of me, so there you go. So,
well, apparently you're the one that had it in you, but that's neither here nor there. Folks, we've got the raffle table. It's a glorious Saturday morning, as I mentioned. I did an intro, but obviously I was on mute, so I do apologize. As I was saying in the mute, we're on, we're ready to go. Head on over to ndbmedia.net, twitter.com/ NDB Media and all the other stuff. You can find us. Sports Talk with the Guys is also on Facebook. So there's a lot of stuff going on, folks. So, of course, I'm the scorekeeper. He's the Big Dog. And he's Brian. And he is the Couch Potato. Oh, wait, hold on. No. And he is Dream. And he is Couch Potato. I try to keep the order, folks. It never works. But good morning, everyone. Wow. Thanks for getting up early, guys. There's a lot of stuff. I mean, I'm sure we're probably going to talk about the Clippers sale a little bit. There's some NHL news. Wow, the Kings are on their way. And the upset of us, scorekeeper, you're full of crap. The Spurs took game one. Wow, what a shock to me and no one else. So there is a lot of stuff. Of course, baseball is well underway. There's some conversation in baseball going on as well about the Major League Baseball draft. If you missed it, folks, go to your Roku player or go to the Internet and check out Keith Olbermann's commentary on the Major League Baseball draft. Sheer genius from a genius. Yes, I would love to have his baby, but that's neither here nor there. Keith Olbermann, you're my hero. You always have been. You always will be. Keith Olbermann's awesome. So I'm going to go to the Big Dog. Good morning, Big Dog. What's going on? Tell me, what's the first thing you want to get to?
Oh, we can go anywhere you would like. NBA, baseball. We can talk about the fact that California Chrome has a chance to win the Triple Crown for the first time since 1978. that happens today. We'll find out.
Oh yeah.
And
yeah,
that is Brian. Big Dog. I'm gonna head on over to Brian on that one because I think he wanted to say something about that.
About what?
don't care about Chrome. Someone jumped in about Chrome, and we certainly weren't talking about the Internet, Explorer. No, let's go to Chrome, Big Dog. Folks, there is a chance. Several weeks ago, after having won the second leg of the journey, Chrome had to request permission because apparently there's a mouth breather or a nose breather apparatus thingy that they put in this horse's mouth. And it's not standard part of the equipment, but apparently they did allow it, and now there's going to be a question that maybe there's an altered horse. I don't know. Big Dog, give us the skinny on it.
Well, of course, being from California, you know, the horse has allergies. So the horse has trouble, you know, breathing since, you know, he's around grass all the time. But anyways, all kidding aside, what it is, it's to help the horse breathe. In essence, it's a nasal strip on the horse. Just kind of the nasal strips that you buy, you know, at your local pharmacy, you know, that you put across your nose and it helps open up your nasal passage. It's the exact same thing except it's for a horse. And some yes.
I have a question. Does this solve the problem? I mean, does this stop him from snoring and keep his trainer up at night?
What a dick.
Well, you
helps him sleep.
You have to ask the trainer about that one, but I don't know if he's got the whole machine on at night, you know, to help him.
No, I have the machine. I have the CPAP machine. The next step is a horsey CPAP machine.
There you go.
Well, folks, I guess that's why, for those of you that wonder, one of my medical appointments yesterday was for the very same thing yesterday. I am going to possibly have something done for my snoring. So I get it, Chrome.
Get a CPAP machine.
But I understand
it, telling
Chrome.
You right now, scorekeeper, I'm just going to give you a quick story. I was a big-time snorer and not really getting sleep. It seemed like I was sleeping, but it wasn't. I'm going to tell you, if you get a CPAP machine, you will get a night's sleep. Now, granted, you'll look like, you know, the white Darth Vader because it's a clear mask that goes on your face. But take away from that, I'm telling you right now, I cannot sleep. I don't sleep anymore without a CPAP machine, and I just sleep so well. I feel so refreshed when I wake up in the morning.
Well, first of all, the only one that could be the white Darth Vader would be you and Brian. Actually, Dream could also pass for a white Darth Vader, but that's neither here nor there. If anything, I would be the brown Darth Vader, and I will
not
never be Darth Vader
clear.
Because I am the Emperor, damn it. But anyway, be that as it may. Thank you, Cash Potato. Everyone in my household doesn't sleep. I do. That's why I have to go and get it checked out. So, Big Dog, he's got this nasal strip thingy. What are his chances of winning today and taking the Triple Crown in thoroughbred racing?
Pretty damn good. I believe he's the favorite to win it. And this is as close as we've come in a long time. We've had a lot of horses that win the first and third legs, but, you know, they miss the middle one. You know, he's doing it right, the right way. He's won the first two. California Chrome, they're making a big deal about it here in California. Santa Anita is having large screens put in to the racetrack, and you can go down there today and watch the race at Santa Anita to see if California Chrome can do it. So
now, if he wins, does that mean that there's going to be an asterisk next to his name in the books, or are they going to do like a California Chrome bobblehead night?
Yeah, there you go.
Come on, man. What's next, man? What's next on the list?
Well,
Chrome?
That does bring up an interesting point, though. If he wins this thing, will there be an asterisk? And all seriousness, how are they feeling about this nasal strip thing? I mean, are people up in arms about this or not? I don't know, because I'm not really jumping into it, but I can imagine that people in records and everything else are probably not feeling all that comfortable with the idea that this is an advantage or something. I don't know. Are they talking about it being an advantage there, Big Dog?
At first they were, and it went to, I guess, the Commission of Horse Racing, you know, whatever they're called, and they voted on it,
Vegas.
And they decided, that it was okay for California Chrome to have the nasal strip. They didn't find that it gave it the horse any advantage. There's nothing in the nasal strip other than it helps open up the nasal passage. So there's no medicine in there or anything that'll give the horse the advantage other than the ride. But California Chrome is a 3-5 favorite to win and in the Belmont today, and the horse drew number 2. Your next best bet, I guess, would be Wicked Strong, which is a 6-1 favorite, and then Tonalist is an 8-1 favorite. After that, everybody else jumps 20-1. So those are your top three horses, but California Chrome is the favorite to win this one. And I believe it's today at, where is it at? I'm not actually sure what the hell time it is at. It's going to be
sometime today. Sometime today. We have Google. We're good.
Yeah, sometime today the horse is going to be racing. And then, you know, of course, if the horse doesn't win, you know, and it'll be shot down, you know, the Triple Crown not win again. But, of course, you know, California Chrome will then disappear and, you know, you'll be having him at, you know, Jack in the Box or McDonald's or something.
Glue Factory, buddy.
Oh.
Glue Factory.
Hey, guys, be nice, be nice. That used to be derisive, but it's no longer derisive. Folks, there you go.
Right.
Ever Senyata, it looks like
are horses
we have a
protected classes now?
I don't know. But, guys, the whole thing about the nasal strip, what it does is it does increase the airflow and allows the horse to take in more air. And the nasal strip is really not a big deal in horse racing. It's rather common. But for today's race, there are many things you can do and cannot do. And what they had to do is they had to basically ask for permission. Can they do this? And, of course, it was like, fine, yeah, go ahead. So it wasn't really anything out of the ordinary. They were just following procedure, but most of us who don't follow were like, oh, my God, this is a big deal. Well, this is rather common in horse racing. So there you go. I wish I still had Carlos, my coworker. Carlos the Jackal, where is he? He would be able to give us so much information. But ever since Zenyatta, this is the first horse that has a genuine chance of doing it. Brian,
I think it was a really good idea for them to get that, so this wasn't an issue afterwards after they won. So they actually probably dodged that bullet, so that's probably a good thing.
Well, Sonny, they should have done it. Had they, you know, some people say, well, do it first and then ask for forgiveness. Well, the horse would have been disqualified because it's
right.
Already mentioned in the book. So, Brian,
that's
tell
awesome.
Me, yeah, are you going for this horse? Do you really think there's a chance for it to win? It is the odds-on favorite. Tell me, Brian, I know I'm drawing you away from Cujo and the peanut butter, but you're the one that called in.
Well, I don't know anything about this horse. So I'm going to say, hell yeah, he's going to win.
There you go.
He's going to sound like a genius if he wins. There you go. I like
exactly.
That. That's a good strategy.
I'm going to call him.
There you go. Mr. Clark, what do you think? You want to go for it? You want to make a call on this one?
I don't know. Along with Charvino there, I don't know much about the horse. I just know that he won. And here's the only thing. I've watched the races. But I really don't know, you know, I don't know horse racing enough more so than just to go ahead and pick him because of the fact that he has been one of these horses that have been, you know, touted as a guy, as a horse that could get the job done. So yeah, my expertise in horse racing is oh, look how cute he looks when he runs by. I don't have it into me to be an expert in horse racing.
Yeah, wait a minute. Before I go to Dream and the Big Dog, look at how cute when he runs by. Oh my God.
Well, I think I'm just making a statement.
There's
I don't
no salvaging
know
that one.
I have yeah, forget it. You're right. There's no salvaging that one.
Yeah, why don't you go
or,
in on
or,
that one there?
You know, the only expertise I have is if I have a 1-2 Quinella and my 1-2 horses are up at the top of at the end of the race. That's all I know.
Ooh, well, there you go, Sonny Clark. You're talking horse racing dirty there, a Quinella. I don't know, but the Big Dog and I actually got the Quinella back in 2009, right, Big Dog? We chose 1-2, baby.
Damn right.
And no one can ever take it away from us. We did. We chose 1-2 of the Kentucky Derby. That's it. No one can lay that claim to fame. Well, Mr. Dream, before I go to Big Dog, is there anything you want to add? I mean, obviously this is a Southern California horse, and this is really one of the few elite horses that they've been talking about for a while now that really does have the ability to win this one. It's almost, I mean, look, the horse has to actually go and do it. But in this one, there is a better than 50% chance of this horse actually winning it out front, and or I should say outright. What are your comments on it?
I'm going for the under horse, for the underdog, whatever you want to call it. I'm saying California Chrome does not win. I say that, you know, what is it, 72, 78? I say that stands, that record. And I say that they don't – I say he doesn't win today. I'm just going to be the odd man out. I'll either look like a fool or a genius, and I'm hoping it's a genius because everybody thinks I'm a fool already.
Yeah, it's all right. You're on Sports Talk with the guys, so that speaks for itself there. So don't worry about it there, Dream. Your reputation, your reputation is secure. That's why I've been telling Brian that he needs to use a secret persona before he gets thrown in with the rabble, but that's neither here nor there. Big Dog, I'm not going to ask you to make the call. We've already done it. We've made the call. We're like Rex in Toy Story 2 when he's offered to play against Zurg, and we're like, why? We already did it. Right, Big Dog?
That's right. But if you were to ask me anyways, I would say he's going to win.
Oh, well, there you go. I'm not going to make a call because I don't need anyone else to be reinforced with the knowledge of who and what I am, folks. You already know it. I'm not even going to bother. I'm going to side with the guys on this one about, you know, fools and leave out doubt. I didn't say idiots, but, you know, I do that in the monologue, but that's neither here nor there. We are Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday. We wake you up, and then hopefully the couch potato will bring it home. May do it tomorrow, may do it later on today. But it is what it is. We have the sparkling host of the Couch Potato Sports Program joining us. And, of course, we also have the sparkling host from the Way In Sports Talk show here on NDB Media. Two of the biggest stars here on Blog Talk Radio have chosen to, actually, they're slumming it today, folks. That's why they're here with us
biggest
today.
Stars.
We thank them.
Jeez.
They are slumming
man,
it.
Man, what an and illusion. Thanks, though.
No, you are slumming it. And it's only a matter of time before Dream becomes a superstar here as well. As you know, he has some acting credits in Hollywood. And no one knows this up until I just blurted it out.
Wow.
Quite a few people know it. Dream has been in a few productions, both. Were they cinema movies, Dream, or were they television movies?
Well, both, I guess.
Oh, that's right. No, that's right. You're in several movies. That's right. I forgot.
Yeah.
Movies. And then you're also.
Well, wait.
Now
you got me curious.
Now
I got to watch the movies. What are we talking about?
You're gonna have to Google me to find out, because I'm not throwing that on air for the lazy bum to look up.
Well, we don't know your real name. I can't put in Dream and then figure it out. So I'll get your real name.
I believe it's rather extended. I think the ladies would enjoy that one, but that's neither here nor there. I'm sure some guys would too. But that's okay. We'll get to that in a moment. We're actually gonna pull one of the Rigby's jokes. where we deliver the punchline, and then we'll tell the joke a little bit later because we don't want to associate his name at the moment. But you guys know him, and we'll gladly tell you off air. But, yes, Dream has been in several things. So it's kind of cool. He's actually told some of them on air, but that's neither here nor there. Folks, we're going to continue in some basketball news. We've got the championships. God, actually, let's go to hockey, guys. I mean, wow. L.A. is in love with itself right now, folks, because the Kings are making it 2 out of the last 3 years. There is news. Actually, it's not news. It's been repeated. The Kings have been on the block for a while. And I don't mean playing. They've been on the sales block for a while. Philip Anschutz publicly declared that he wanted to sell AEG a while back, but apparently he's now gotten away of he doesn't want to get rid of AEG. He likes what he's doing. He has become the guy that sets up sports venues around the world. They're one every month is being created somewhere. They're just like the leaders in that. But the Kings do remain on the sales block. So let's get a quick update in the NHL. I know the Kings won the first game rather convincingly in overtime. Big Dog, tell us, what are your thoughts on the Kings? They're looking mighty, mighty real good right now, aren't they, Big Dog?
Actually, yes, they are looking very, very good, but I'm just wondering, how do you win convincingly if you go to overtime?
Great question.
Is that like having a second career year?
But you know what? Okay, just because I don't want to keep swearing on air because, Lenny Melman, he nailed me on that one, and he nailed me so quick. I mean, I knew what I said, and I admitted I will probably be Roger the scorekeeper having his second career year, Noriega. There you go. How's that? You like that? You like that?
I do like that. That's actually kind of funny.
All right. Yes, I will forever, ever go down for that reason. But there. The Kings.
Don't tell Mrs. Scorekeeper that.
Yeah,
exactly.
I know. Well, Mrs. Scorekeeper, by the way, for those of you that have been wondering, again, we've been actually, for those of you that think I'm overdoing it on Facebook, I have been updating a lot. People are wondering, what the hell is going on? Well, there is a lot of treatment going on in the Noriega family, and one of them, Mrs. Scorekeeper, is improving significantly. She has not been in 100% health, and we can say that it looks like she has turned a corner, and things are improving. So for everyone who has been supporting us, everyone who's been supporting us and supporting her more than anything else, there is good news to share, and that's what a lot of these visits are. Their follow-ups, their procedures that are being done. And, yeah, Big Dog, I just set it up yesterday. It looks like I'm going to get sniffed. Can you believe that?
Oh, boy. Sounds like
fun. Yeah, first all the kitties in my family are getting sniffed, but it looks like I'm going to get sniffed right along with the pussies. Damn.
Roger, how could you do that to yourself, man? You're a disgrace to all mankind, dude.
Well, okay.
Come on. You may want to have a kid when you're 80 years old, okay?
Oh, well, thank you, Brian. But no, I've looked at no. First of all, thank you, sir. I will consider myself fortunate if I make it to 60. It's not in my genes. All the men in the Noriega side
Yeah, it's not in your genes. You got a snip. You're going to get a snip, so it's not going to be in your genes no more.
Oh, that's very good. That's very good, Big Dog, but allow me to finish. Guys, look, if I get snipped,
not anymore. Not anymore.
Oh, come on. You had to know it was going to go there.
You know what? I didn't because the scorekeeper speaks without thinking. Dream will get her in that one.
Oh, you got sunny-itis then is what you're saying.
So Dream has been there to witness the scorekeeper in intense moments, and he's like, oh, yeah, the dumb shit will always speak without. I mean, if he's supposed to say, be nice to animals when the animals are there, that's something the scorekeeper will not say. because he's a scorekeeper. And Dream is evidence. He has seen the moment when scorekeeper basically all he had to take was ball four, and the stupid dumbass still swang at the outside pitch. Because that's what he does.
He swang to the fences is more likely.
Well, I appreciate that, but on the Roger Noriega scorecard, we did get beat this Monday by the best team in the league, so we've dropped to 3-1. But the scorekeeper went 2-for-3, and he got another vulture RBI. So I think he's the team leader in RBIs. But
did you follow the playground rules with getting beat? You know the playground rules for getting beat.
What? Shake
your
hand?
However many points you lose by, it's how many tires you have to slash on the other team's cars.
You know what, Dream? Thank you for that, but I have no comment on that. Let's just say that the co-workers know that they played co-workers. the scorekeeper handled, I didn't have any assists because I played first base on Monday. No assists, but I believe I had like 6 putouts. So I handled them flawlessly and did well.
Not after tomorrow.
Well, my next game is on Monday. We are 3-1, but the scorekeeper did what he was on second base. It looked like it was going to be a big inning, and he took his lead, and Adam was up, and oh, my God, did Adam tag the ball. But guess what? Adam also tagged the scorekeeper in the lane.
Oh,
you're out, then. You're out.
Yeah, I immediately ruled it because it ended the inning. And I said, that's a base hit. Ruling is put out to the shortstop. So immediately I announced it. The other team was like, dude, are you okay? I'm like, I'm fine. I got back to the
dugout.
Like,
hold on, Roger. Hold on, Roger. That's not a base hit, is it? Am I wrong?
It is a hit when you hit the runner. It is a base hit, but the putout is to the nearest fielder. And in this case, the shortstop would never have gotten it because I was blocking his view. Actually, it would have eaten the shortstop alive. I saved his ass. But I was at short. I was taking my lead, and I was like the deer caught in the headlight. Oh, my God. The ball came right at me, and I tried to do an Inspector Gadget, but I'm 45 years old. So by the time the message was generated from my head, I'd already been hit. So.
Oh, so you didn't do a double tuck and everything to try to get around that one then, huh?
I will never be able to do the Sonny Clark move. No.
That's right.
All I was able to do was I see the ball coming right at me. I'm like, what? So I'm deer in the headlights, and I try to make the move to the right, so I basically look like walk like an Egyptian. So there you go. And I got hit. If you guys want to see the picture, because it is still bad, my entire shin, I got nailed in the meaty part in my right leg. And, oh, my God, it's bad. That's another reason I went to the doctor. Because I went to see the doctor to say, hey, is this normal? And my doctor, who's Indian, she's funny. She said, so this wasn't cricket, was it? Like, you're being a smart ass, aren't you? I'm like, well, she got a chuckle a little bit.
It hurts like hell, guys. It hurts like hell getting hit with that ball. Man.
Oh, yeah, guys. It was a short hop. It was a line drive. I got tagged.
Yeah.
So
I got hit in the lower back with a 300-pound guy. I was on third base, standing on third base, and he hit me, and it was about 30 degrees, and I'm still hurting. 12 years later, at this
point. Yeah, I believe that one. Yes.
You said your doctor's Indian?
Racist.
Yes, she's from India. She's from India.
How does she have time to do her practice while running the 7-Eleven?
Wow.
Oh. Oh no.
Actually, hold on a minute. Everyone chuckled except for Couch Potato and the scorekeeper. And the only reason why the Couch Potato did not chuckle was because he generally took the high road, because he's not for this. The rest of us thought that was kind of funny. And I just stood quiet because I wanted to hear how everyone else was going to react. So the only one that's a good person here is probably Couch Potato.
Well, but we already all know Couch Potato's a good guy, so.
It didn't count.
Anyway, check your Facebook, there, scorekeeper.
Uh-oh, are we going to start showing our wounds? I'm gonna upload the pictures right now, guys, because they are... Oh, you're funny! You're funny! All right, you're funny. I'm going to post the pictures.
And that, it's amazing what Photoshop... Once you learn how to do Photoshop, it's amazing how fast you can do things.
Yeah, well, I haven't figured out.
No,
so,
man, I'm telling you, man, a CPAP machine, I'm telling you, suddenly it's, I wear it, I use it, I'll tell you, and I feel so much better. And I'll tell you, scorekeeper, if you go that route, you will be thankful that you did. I promise.
I need one, I think, guys. I snore. My wife says I snore. I don't believe it, though.
Well, you don't believe it because you can't hear it.
But I do feel like shit in the morning when I wake up sometimes after sleeping.
Yep.
Yeah, for me, guys, unfortunately, I did not snore. I never did. But with all this stress that's been going on in my life over the last few years, yeah, it's all stress related. And, by the way, Big Dog, I know you're not here to know this, but the Big Dog has been a poor witness to all the events. I got some big news. All I can say is that medically it has been established that, yeah, I'm under stress. I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe it. You mean these tests actually work? Like, holy crap. I cannot believe it. Yeah, I got some news on that. I'm like, oh, man. So that's all I'm going
to
say.
Roger, if you get your balls cut off, you're not going to be able to relieve that stress.
Well, Brian, thank you for that. I'm actually not going to have my balls cut off per se. I'm going to have a little tube fixed. That's all. It just means that when the scorekeeper does what he does, there's going to be no future children. That's all. So, okay.
Shooting blame.
So Tell Cujo not to pay attention. Go ahead, Big Dog.
Cujo had his balls cut off already, too, so.
Well, then no, is he any less than a dog?
Yeah, okay, hold on. No. Now we know why Brian mollifies Cujo with the peanut butter. Good for you, buddy. You are a sensitive human being after all.
That's
you know
right.
That is. Wow. You're a good man, Brian. Or I guess you're good.
I try
you're
to
good
be.
Rough. Yeah, you're.
I try to be,
guys. Go ahead, Big Dog. I hear you chuckling in the background.
No. I was just gonna say, you know, because Brian said, you know, you're gonna have your balls, you know, cut off. For you to have your balls cut off, you know, Mrs. Scorekeeper has to give them back to you first.
Oh.
You know, Big Dog,
take them out of her purse.
Oh, man.
That's funny, Big Dog. It really is. And I'm happy for you. I really am. You know, folks, I want to set something straight right here. And Terry's on. We know him as a traveling man. You all know he's really cool. He's really awesome. I mean, he
love
has seen more
man
sports. Oh, he's awesome. He has truly seen more sports than all of us combined. I mean, Terry Zahn is in his 70s. He's virile, very well, and he just now sold his motorhome. So he visited every stadium in the United States of America over the last 10 years. He's
wow
really been, yeah, he's done the dream that I had. And I talked to him about it before he retired, and he says, Roger, I think we're going to try to do that. And he did. Congratulations to Terry. He's going to be joining us. Sonny, he's going to be at Vegas on December 5th.
Yeah, I know. He lives in Henderson, right?
He's in Vegas.
Yeah,
so he's
lives in Henderson, so that'd be perfect.
So I believe he's going to be joining us live, guys, for the program. That's going to be neat. I can't wait for that. So
I can't either.
Awesome.
I'm actually, matter of fact, mentioning that, the IFL is having their first Hall of Fame induction, and my buddy Charlie Hilbold, who's one of the owners, was not, he was part of the original 20 for nomination, but he didn't make the top 10, so we're going to put him into the other Hall of Fame that I'm in because he deserves it, and I'm trying to get him to come down there for that, and he might be there too, one of the owners of the Revolution. Good guy. His name is Charlie Hilbold, funny guy, and so keep your, that we might have just a whole bunch of people there. It's going to be cool.
Well, Sonny, I think that's why we're going to be on all weekend, so I think
yeah.
It's going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun, but Terry Zahn's going to be there, and I've already spoken to Lenny. Have you already spoken to Lenny Melnick about it?
Yes, I have talked. I've talked to Lenny, and he's waiting to get his tickets to go, but, yeah, he's set to go as well.
Well, that's pretty serious because Lenny, when he said he's going to do it, it's wow, yeah. Remember, Lenny's the one that flew over to Portland, Oregon to go do the football game with me when he found out we were going to do it. Andrea was going to do the game, and he said, well, she can't do the game alone. So Lenny said, I'm going out there. And if Lenny went, I said, well, I got to go meet Lenny. And it was, I got to admit, that was fun. But, guys, here's a joke. Lenny Melnick is about 5 feet tall. My daughters, my wife, all of my exes, they tower over him. So if you look at the pictures, that when we went to the restaurant, we were there at about 12 or 1 in the morning. And, you know, we all had a night out. We enjoyed. He ordered steak, and it was petite. I was like, Lenny, do you know how unmasculine that is? Well, Raj, don't tell anyone that I ordered petite. Lenny, you don't want me to tell anyone that you ordered petite? Well, all right, Lenny, don't worry. I won't take a picture, and I won't post it on Facebook. And, Lenny, I won't tell anyone that you ordered petite. Lenny doesn't know that if I say I promise, it doesn't mean anything.
Oh,
I did.
Man.
I did. Whoa,
wow.
What happened here? Hey, folks, I'm looking at my switchboard, and I'm a little concerned. Brian, are you live with us right now? No. This is interesting. I see Brian's number. Oh, and let me set this clear. Cash Potato knows who I am, dare I say, knows me, and yet I call in and he never knows my phone number. You do suffer from Mad Cal. But
it's really, really bad, too, in reality.
Yeah, you do have Mad Cal. But it on my switchboard, it shows that Brian is live, and it also shows that Brian is calling in. This is crazy.
Cool.
Let me see what's going to happen. I'm going to bring Brian
in.
Hey,
I'm live, guys.
Well, Brian, both of you are live right now. Seriously.
Wait, does that double your numbers for both?
I've got Cujo on the other line.
There you go.
That actually is very funny. I'm going to take a picture. I'm not going to post it because it has everyone's phone number, but I'm going to send it to everyone who's here live just so you can see what I'm talking about. Brian has actually called in twice. This is funny. My switchboard shows.
He's amazing.
Cut it out. Don't take
that's
Cujo's
his superhero powers.
Oh, Lord. Folks, the Kings are on the verge of, well, after the convincing and commanding overtime win, 3-2 over the Rangers.
Just a bit outside, tried the corner and missed.
Yeah, just a bit outside. What happened in game two? Was that on Friday or is that tonight?
That is tonight.
Got all sorts of sporting stuff happening today. We got the Heat and Spurs. We have
the
California
Heat and Spurs
Crow.
Play Sunday, don't they?
No, that's Sunday. The Heat and Spurs are Sunday.
Oh, Sunday. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Sunday.
Oh,
see,
okay.
I got
wait,
my days mixed up
boys.
Again. Man.
Yeah, no, it's not.
But we still
got
California Chrome.
Yeah, you're
trying to fix the air conditioner.
Big dog, what the hell is going on? Yay. I thought you were supposed to play game one, take a day off, and then play game two. what is this two games in between? Are they doing this crap all over again?
Yes, because the sponsors want a weekend games. So, of course, that is why they're having the Sunday game.
Isn't Saturday a weekend?
Yeah.
Yeah, but they want, I guess, better ratings on Sunday because they feel that people, plus they don't want to interfere with the NHL game today.
Oh, so they want, they want 100% attention.
Yeah, they want 100% attention.
Big Dog, the NHL is doing the exact same thing, too. They played on Wednesday, didn't they? They should have played Friday. I mean, what the hell?
They're enjoying the California weather here in New Jersey. You know, the New York Rangers, you know, they're not used to having such nice weather, so they wanted to spend a couple of extra days here.
Well, all right.
Since you're on basketball,
the
Kings are up 1-0.
The Kings are up one game. Hold on. The Kings are up 1-0. A commanding and convincing overtime victory scorekeeper's opinion. And we're going to leave it at that. Game two is tonight here at the Staples Center. I'm shocked that the Kings have home field advantage. And they won. I mean, that's the shocking thing. The Kings, I think, are the best road team. Because the Kings kicked the crap out of everyone on the road, and they've been doing it for several years now.
Yeah, but they also have to win a couple at home.
Yeah, I know. Okay. So, yeah, all right. So we're done with the Kings. Let's go on over to basketball. In the shock of shocks to the scorekeeper, the Spurs won game one, and I think this was a convincing victory. So, Big Dog, why don't you give us the details to that, and we'll bring it to the roundtable.
As you said, it was a very good game. Game one, very exciting. These guys are evenly matched. They play the game the way it should be played. Popovich is, you know, a genius when it comes to play. He plays just basic basketball, your fundamental basketball. And he rested his players, you know, Tony Parker, Ginobili, and Duncan, his big three. He rested them throughout the year to save them so they would have the stamina to make it to the finals, because we all know the playoffs are so drastically different. In the East, it's pretty much a cakewalk. He had a cakewalk. He had a little bit of tough time with Indiana, so to speak, but pretty much it was a cakewalk for them to get back in the finals. Whereas in the West, it's pretty much a dogfight just to even make the damn playoffs, let alone get to the finals. So Popovich played it perfectly, as he always does. It was a great game. Of course, the little controversy was the air conditioning unit, I guess, in the arena broke down, so it was extremely warm and humid inside. I believe it got up to about 92 degrees on the court. So, you know, everybody was sweating, dehydrated, and, of course, the pussy that he is, LeBron James, the choker, as I used to love to call him until he started winning titles. Couldn't handle it because he got cramps. Well, you know what? Take some Midol, shut up, and quit bitching. So
exactly.
Oh,
you
man.
Know, everybody. I mean, all kidding aside. Yeah, okay, it was bad. He did get the like I said, he started cramping up. Now, my only thing was no one else was cramping up. So, you know, was he expending that much energy that he was cramping up? Is he just not conditioned as well as everyone else? You know, is he sitting on his laurels as being the best in the business? Or, you know, why the fact was he cramping up? Because no one, like I said, no one else cramped up. Everybody, yes, was exhausted. I'll give him that. But cramping up like that, yes, I know it can happen. But, I mean, he's supposed to be the best or one of the top two because Kevin Durant now is the MVP. So why is he cramping up when no one else is? I mean, you have Dwayne Wade with bad knees. You have Tim Duncan that's pretty much the end of his career at 37 years old. He didn't cramp up. So, you know,
I would probably answer that one with he's on the Heat, everything flows through him. I mean, I'm not defending him because I hate this guy. But, I mean, on the Heat, everything flows through him. He has to be the controller. On the Spurs, everybody's running, passing. Everybody's finding the open man. You know, so it's kind of like whoever's got the ball and is open can do the drive or can make the shot or whatever. But I think it's just the added, you know, the extra minutes that the balls are in his hands really adding up over the course of the game.
Okay,
I just think it's odd that there were 20,000 Mexicans in the arena and not one of them knew how to fix an air conditioning unit.
Man,
that is one of the things that the NBA is going to be fighting, is that they don't want that to turn into a strategy when they're playing the Heat. You know, they don't want that to turn into, oh yeah, the AC is broken, you know, come on down, Heat, you know, come on down, LeBron, let's try to set this straight, you know. And they don't want that to be a determining factor, because apparently LeBron's had this issue ever since he was in high school. You know, he tends to cramp up through when it gets too hot. You know, so this isn't anything new.
Poor baby.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, it's the way the breaks go, because, I mean, it's not just the Heat that were affected. It was also the Spurs. And in answer to your question about the ball going through him extensively, that's why he cramped up, because he was using more energy. Well, you know, I being older than most of you guys are, you know, back in the 80s when it was the Lakers versus the Celtics, and the Celtics did the same strategy when there was no Heat, Magic Johnson handled that ball 95% of the time. He never cramped up. Larry Bird handled the ball about a good 80% of the time for the Celtics. He never cramped up. So the thing about, you know, the ball going through him more, you know, just goes for, you know, what we all like to say is, guys were tougher back then than they are now. Now they're coddled. Whether you're in basketball, baseball, football, everybody's coddled now. So
I agree.
You know.
Well, but but cramps are hereditary, aren't they?
Some are.
Well,
some are. Yeah.
We will have.
There's no way in hell I could have played another second until that cramp went away. And if you play through a cramp like that, you can do some serious damage to yourself. So I don't know if it's tough or is it just smart to come off the court when you're that bad.
Hey guys,
well, they really didn't have anything to lose. Remember what happened last year in the playoffs? They lost game one, and then they get the win in game seven. So really, you look at that whole situation and what they were doing to protect protect where they were as far as will they win, will they won't. The Heat dropping game number one is not a big deal. The Heat dropping game number two, though, that's going to be a big deal, especially if they lose. So I think what they did is they took the odds in what that whole situation was and said, well, do we risk injury making this worse if he cramps up and then pulls something up on top of it? I mean, you have LeBron James out of it. The only complaint I have about LeBron James is that it's great big deal production every time something happens to him. And, you know, he's 2 feet away from Eric Spoelstra, but yet he puts his hand up in the air so high he says, I got to go out, instead of just saying, hey, coach, I got to go out. I mean, he makes a big deal production over it, and I think that's what's so, you know, that's my complaint about LeBron James. This guy is a big drama queen in the first place, but then, you know, really in reality, he shows that he's a drama queen, because in reality, all he had to do is just turn his head and say, coach, I'm cramping, I got to get out of here. No, he makes a big deal or deal about it, puts his hands up, and makes sure the cameras are on him when it happens. So that's my only complaint about him.
Hey guys, I'm so sick of them comparing him. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, Dream. I just want to – guys, we have to ask women whether cramps are hereditary, guys. Seriously. I mean, we have to ask the women in our lives, hey, babe, are cramps hereditary? And I think the women in our lives are going
not serious,
to either walk away or for the first time probably hit any of us. Because, hey, look, I mean, I'm not into the beating stuff, but, dude, for you being stupid, I am going to beat the shit out of you for that one. Think about it. Are cramps hereditary? Oh, my God.
They are.
Yes!
They are.
Everyone has cramps, for goodness sake.
Just not that kind of cramp. God.
Some
I can't
more
believe
than
you
other.
Went there.
I mean, seriously, are cramps hereditary? Someone just took my He's having a second career line away. Thank God. Mark Cramp's Hereditary. No one can ever take that moment away. And LeBron James has it. I love it. Go ahead, Dream. Go ahead, Dream.
I was just going to say, I'm already sick of the comparisons, you know, LeBron and Michael Jordan. It happens every year during the playoffs. And, you know, for the last couple of years at least. And, you know, it's going to happen. He's an amazing ball player, even though I hate him to guts. But he will never be as good as Michael Jordan. I mean, tell me, when is he ever? And he will never, but when he's never, ever, ever, never will save the Looney Tunes from an alien race. He just won't.
I got it. That was beautiful. I love it. I love it. Folks, there's no doubt. LeBron James will never, ever, ever be Michael Jordan because Michael Jordan beat back an alien invasion. You're right. That's right. Way to go. I love it.
And those are serious battle scars there, scorekeeper.
Battle scars. You guys, look it up. Looney Tunes, baby. Looney Tunes called on whom? They called on all the other pussies because none of them could do it, but they called on Michael Jordan, and Michael Jordan beat back the invasion. You're right, Dream. I love it. I love it.
Parents will understand the reference.
Yeah, no one else is going to play with us on that one there, Dream. So it's okay.
No, I guess not.
Brian, hey Brian, I forget what your opinion is on LeBron James, but look, I'm not going to go as far as Dream here and say that I hate the guy. I mean, I have nothing for him. I dislike the attitude that he has on court. Sonny Clark remembers when he pulled that stupid move and he tried to intimidate another player on court. Yeah, I probably got in trouble for what I said and how I said it, but the fact of the matter is he's a little punk. He's a little pussy. But congratulations to him. He's won the rings. He's got the MVP. And he is right now, in my humble opinion, yeah, Durant, sit down, he is the best player in the league, hands down. Okay.
Without question.
Folks, we know this. We know he's the best player in the game. And then we
That doesn't mean
follows?
We have to like him.
Doesn't mean we have to like him. But then we kind of like, and so what else? What else about him being the best player in the game? This guy has so much baggage that it's embarrassing. Michael Jordan didn't have this baggage. And here's a guy that I dislike, and the big dog knows it. Kobe Bryant. I've never cared for Kobe Bryant. Do I cheer for him? Of course. I'm a Laker. I cheer and I want him to do well. But big dog knows I've never cared for Kobe Bryant. I just don't share the hate as much. I don't like him. I don't hate him. But even Kobe didn't have the same amount of baggage that LeBron has. Michael Jordan, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, not even close. LeBron James, dude, they never made jokes of Larry Bird and of Michael Jordan and of Irving Magic Johnson the same way they do of you. Dude, you were in a commercial with a talking doll. You were also in a commercial where Mama gives you Campbell's soup, dude. Okay, good for you. You were in a commercial with Mama. Mama has to defend you. Mama never defended the other boys.
You know what? That's a good point, scorekeeper. But if you take a look at it, and I heard this yesterday,
God,
and I forgot who I heard it from, and I'm just not sure. But really, when you think about Michael Jordan, you know, he had a lot of protection. I mean, you think about Michael Jordan and what he's all about. He's Nike. Okay, so he is, you know, I don't know if it's Nike's protecting him or whatever the case may be or that kind of stuff, but when you think Michael Jordan, you think Nike. But when you think LeBron James, what do you think of? the problem is,
the problem
is that, and of course we can never do this, but if there was never a Michael Jordan, would we be talking this bad about him? And I don't know. I don't think we might have, because here's the thing. Nike has put Michael Jordan, he could be a womanizer. He can be, not as good in baseball. He could do all this stuff that's negative, and we forget about it, okay? Because Michael Jordan.
Hold on.
Because he's Michael Jordan.
I know
scorekeeper hasn't forgotten about it. That part, I get it and I understand. I'm talking about the population. Scorekeeper will never forget it. But the population of the NBA does and has forgotten about the fact that he's a womanizer, he fooled around on his wife and all this other stuff, all this negative stuff. But yet, who is protecting him? It's got to be Nike, because Nike, he's got that image of Nike of being a badass. And guess what? LeBron James does not have that, and he's nowhere close to doing the negative things that Michael Jordan did throughout his life.
Okay. Yeah, I don't want to get into who's been more negative or who is, because I think Michael Jordan and even Kobe Bryant have done worse things than
another
LeBron.
Nike guy.
But here we go, guys. Are we talking about the basketball player, or are we talking about the person? Remember, there is a difference.
Yep.
You know, there is a difference. Big Dog, you've been quiet, dude. Come on in.
Oh no, I'm just listening. You know, to talk about supposedly the best player of all time, the supposed Michael Jordan, which of course, as you guys already. He is not the best basketball player of all time. That, of course, that distinction, in my humble opinion, and of course it is just my opinion, but that distinction goes to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Yes, Michael Jordan was more flamboyant, and he was better with the press. But when Kareem retired, he retired with pretty much every single offensive statistical category being number one. Michael Jordan cannot say that at all. Sorry.
Yeah, but the guy was 12 feet tall, and all he did was hook shot.
Well, you know what, though? But let me tell you something. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was a machine. He scored. Whether he put that elbow out or not, there was no way to defend him. In the same manner that there's no way to defend LeBron now. Really?
Right.
Dream.
Think about it, yep.
How do you defend LeBron? Seriously. How do you defend against him? You and I play basketball. What do you do against a guy like LeBron?
You draft someone. You find Nancy Kerrigan, bring her out in the works, and let her just start chopping at his knees.
or turn the air off, whichever one.
Well, there you go.
Turn the air off. Turn the lights off.
When
the Spurs were in the finals with the Heat, they tried to just force him to make shots. And they said, back off of him, don't close, give him space. And then he started closing down shots. And then there was no turning back. You know, this year they're trying something a little different. They're trying to close up on him early, make him drive on you. And it's that seeming to work better as long as, one, he's got cramps, but two, he's got to see the jerseys inside. He's got to see the rest of the Spurs backing up his people, you know, because you cannot count on Dwayne Wade to make shots. You can most likely count on Ray Allen having a good night. You know, you can most likely count on Shane Battier knocking down a couple, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, it's going to be kicked back out to LeBron. You know, he's going to end up closing out the game for them. So, you know, you have to be able to close out on him early and make him try to get around you. You know, he's not going to be, you know, as – well, he's going to be effective no matter what. But, I mean, if he starts hitting the deep shot, it's going to be easier for him to hit that little close little jumper. You know, but if he's only hitting jumpers at the end of the game, it's going to be harder for him to hit that three-pointer.
look, guys, when it comes to LeBron, he is, in my humble opinion, to use a phrase that Big Dog does, guys, he's the best player there is. How do you defend him when LeBron is on? He's a monster. There's really not much you can do. But if you give him the ball, I think that's a good thing. You make him take the shot until he beats you, and then you try to change it up. I actually believe in the Hack-a-Shaq strategy, but this guy might be too big for that. I don't know. But you've got to change things up when it comes to LeBron. But guys, unlike other people, I readily acknowledge that he is the best there is. And Big Dog, look, we asked Dream about it. How do you defend LeBron, seriously? What do you do against this guy?
LeBron, I mean, years ago, just like Dream said before, you would back off on him so he couldn't drive. You make him make those outside shots. Well, now that he's making the outside shots, the new strategy would be just like what you said. You keep the ball in his hand for 80-90% of the time, make all the offense go through him, so hopefully he tires by the time the fourth quarter comes around, and then you can tighten up on defense.
And we now know that you also cut the air conditioning. I think that's a great strategy, guys. I'd use it.
The only thing, though, in this game, as we all know, in game one, what happened, you know, he couldn't come back in the game. He says he let the team down because his body let him down, blah, 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 you know, so on and so forth. The only problem, though, is LeBron is one of those people that when he has a crappy game, usually the very next game he has a monster game. And
that's
That's what's going to happen, I think, tomorrow, because LeBron has already said, you know what, my body let me down in game one. I am coming back 100% for game two, guaranteed I will be ready. So I'm like, oh, shit. LeBron's going to go for about 40. He's going to go for 40, 45 tomorrow.
Yeah,
okay,
but
now hold on.
Spurs in San Antonio. He will not beat Tony on the road. He may have a monster game, but it's not going to be enough.
Well, see, that's interesting that you put it that way, because when you take a look at the game and you see what happened in this game, okay, as far as other players, if you lose your star player, you still got Dwayne Wade, who's got the championship ring. You still have Boston, supposedly great, supposedly. And don't think at Kemp. They got Kemp, too. You got to be able to step it up. Remember, this was a team that was up 7 points in the fourth quarter, okay, and then they died out. Did they die out because LeBron James had cramps? You know,
yes.
I don't know. But someone else has to – they really have to step up, and they've got to take over, because LeBron James will get hurt sometimes, and someone's got to do it. And guess what? It's happening in the championship game. So if no one on that team is going to step up, they deserve to lose, okay? Because in reality, when Michael went down, you had Scotty, you had Horace, you had all these other guys that would step in. If a Magic Johnson or if one of those other – they stepped up and they took over the game. And that's what's not happening in Miami.
Yeah,
and that's what people
old.
Are not talking about either.
They're old. They have no shot to win without LeBron James. He's it. Like Dream said, everything runs through LeBron. All of a sudden you take him out, you go from a 7-point lead to you get blown out. And imagine four quarters without LeBron James. It would be a 50-point blowout.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And not just that, but another strong point about the Spurs is that by resting their big three all throughout the year, it's really forced their bench to step up and perform on a regular basis. So they're comfortable in those situations. They're comfortable. I mean, look at Danny Green. How many threes did he knock down, you know, in that last little stint? You know, how many threes just at the end of the night did they hit in that fourth quarter alone? I mean, they step up on a regular basis, and they're used to it. They're used to being relied upon. They're used to being a core part of that squad, because they're used to Tim Duncan sitting down. They're used to Ginobili sitting down. They're used to Parker sitting down, and that's
good
fine.
Point.
You know, and the Heat are not used to that at all. LeBron's there. He's playing almost the whole game. You know, he sits down for a little bit, has a drink of water, has a breath of oxygen, and he's back in the game. You know, and then, you know, you take him out of the puzzle, you know, Dwayne Wade's forced to hit a three. Dwayne Wade's forced to drive on bad knees. You know, Ray Allen forced to get out of his wheelchair and, you know, and his knocked down a couple, you know, but...
Yeah, Ray Allen,
you know,
was who I was thinking of things.
Yeah, he was... Well, I mean, in the beginning, it looked like he was missing everything, but he still terrifies me if I'm on the other squad. Is he going to knock down that game-winning three? You know, that's what he's known for. You know, and that's how many, you know, nails in the coffin he's put in throughout the years. But, you know, am I worried about Ray Allen running up and down the court for, you know, 48 minutes? Hell no. You know, am I worried about him knocking down that 1-3 at the end of the game? 100% yes. You know, all he's got to do is lean and toss and it'll go in. You know, but that's one shot out of 20. Or, well, actually, no, one shot out of three. But... He's a phenomenal shooter.
Sonny Clark, you're hearing some wonderful conversations right here. And the way I'm reading this is, and, you know, if there is one reliable, is it? I mean, there's nothing guaranteed except nuclear bombs, horseshoes, and all that stuff. But LeBron
right.
James does have a bad game. It's true. The big dog is right. And it's going to be a big game. Will it be enough for them to win in San Antonio? You heard what Brian said. They're not going to do it on the road. What is going to happen in this series? If LeBron does have a big game and San Antonio pulls it out, I'm going to go to the big dog after this. Is this series over if LeBron shows up and no one supports him and they lose?
Well, if they lose this game, no. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to be tough. If they lose it, obviously the only way they're going to do it is get it to a game seven, okay? And the Spurs, if they just continue with what they're doing and they are close in the fourth quarter with a chance to win, that's in the Spurs' advantage. The Heat, if they're going to win these games, they're going to have to blow them out or put it into the fourth quarter where it doesn't matter at the end of the game. And I think that would be the difference in this series. Me personally, when I look at the game and I see what I'm seeing out on the court as far as what the Spurs are right now. I said Spurs in six, and I mean it. Spurs in six, you know. So sooner or later, they're going to have to win, you know, on the road somewhere, I imagine, and the Spurs will grab one up in Miami. But, you know, I think it has to be this game. If the Heat go down 2-0, you know, I think that's going to be a recipe for disaster for the Heat for the rest of the series. You got to steal one of the two. And what I mean is steal one of those away games in the first two games in order to get back home to where you can breathe easy at home, to where you can get it to the end of the game and then try to take it over in the last 3 to 4 minutes of the game. Right now, the Heat can't afford that. And that's another thing. Since they can't afford it, which means they're going to have to put more effort out on the court through the first 46 minutes of the game compared to the last two. And that will take a toll up on the Heat, I think, because they, even though San Antonio supposedly is older, they seem to be more in shape. Why? Because they can rotate men in and out of the game. You still got the big three. When one of and Dream made that big point, when Ginobili sits down, no big deal. When Duncan sits down, it's no big deal. They get the bench play. The bench play from the Heat is not all that great, at least compared to the Spurs anyway, and that's where the problem I think lies in this right now as far as the series is if they continue to go that route.
Big dog. Wonderful analysis. Let's finish it up with you there, Big Dog, and then we'll go on to the next basketball subject.
Sonny nailed it right on the head because, I mean, everything he said was absolutely right. What's going to be interesting, you know, if the Heat lose game two, yes, you know, it's not over for them, but it's going to be extremely hard for them to come back from that. I agree with the assessment of Sonny as Spurs in six. That's what I was thinking. That they'll win it in six. Now you remember they do have the revenge factor also factored in, guys. Because don't forget, you know, they played them last year and lost to the Heat. So there's that little extra also, and it was the first time they've ever lost in the finals. So there's that thing, you know, and as we all know, Popovich will outcoach Miami. I mean,
right now, 100%.
Popovich right now is the number one coach in the NBA. The guy is a genius. So, you know, and he's hilarious when he gives interviews with those one-word answers. But that's just me. But San Antonio, they're a machine. It's exactly what you say. You sit Tim Duncan down, no problem. You sit Ginobili down, no problem. You know, these guys, it's the system that Popovich runs that you can just plug pretty much any person into that system, and it will still run the same. So, you know, there are a little bit of variables, of course, because that's why these guys are superstars. You know, they had that little extra. But basically, you can pretty much put anybody in the position that needs to be put into because of the system that is run. So that's the advantage that San Antonio has over the Heat, where if you sit LeBron down or you sit Wade down, you know, there's huge holes there, you know, and that's the advantage that San Antonio can jump on. And that's why when San Antonio was down, you know, 7 points or so, and LeBron and Wade sat down, you know, they came charging back.
Yep.
The one thing I did want to mention, guys, I thought it was very interesting just to show how much of he cares about his looks and stuff. It was 90 freaking degrees on the court, which, man, it was probably like 95, close to 100 in the seats. Everybody's sunning themselves. They pan the camera out. They find Pat Riley, hair still slicked back, no sweat on him, and he's wearing his jacket. Incredible.
Wow.
Well, there you go, folks. Excellent and wonderful analysis right there from the experts here on Sports Talk with the Guys. There you have it. Wonderful commentary. I'm not going to add to it because these four guys hit it on the nail. Wonderful stuff. Folks, game two is coming up. This is a series. It is a big deal. And we got the NHL and we have the NBA right now. And these are good games, folks. So we invite you to enjoy them with us. And Big Dog and everyone else, guys, I want to head on over now because it looks like the drama in the NBA with the Clippers is over. And by the way, guys.
Not quite.
Hold on. I know. I said almost. All right. It looks like. Folks, if the Clippers sold for $2 billion, what the hell does that say for the Milwaukee Bucks that just sold for $500 million? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Folks, it's unbelievable. Big Dog, why don't you take us where we're going right now? What is the latest news with the Clippers?
Well, the latest news with the Clippers, it came out earlier in the week that Donald Sterling had decided to withdraw his petition, I guess, for suing the NBA for $1 billion and go ahead with the sale of the Clippers. Then just yesterday, there was a little snag that I guess Mr. Sterling, and I use that term very loosely right now, has decided not to sign off just quite yet because for some reason he thinks that if he signs off on selling the Clippers, he wants assurances that he will not have to pay the $2.5 million fine, and he wants an assurance that his lifetime ban from the NBA will be lifted by selling the Clippers. The NBA has already gave him their response and said, no, we don't know what you're smoking. But that we did not infer that. We did not write that in any contract. So we don't know where you're getting that information from. So evidently Donald Sterling wants all his things that were imposed on him by the NBA to be taken away and lifted. And the NBA is just not going to do that. So
if they were smart, they would.
Yes, we remember what you had to say. But he's no longer suing them. That has been rescinded. But as far as the sale goes, he hasn't agreed quite yet to the sale. But if Shelly Sterling is in charge of the trust, I don't see what he has to say anyways. He's not in charge anymore because of his mental capacity problems that he's having. So Shelly Sterling is in charge of the Sterling Trust, so I don't know why they would even need his approval. Scorekeeper, maybe you can enlighten me on that one.
Okay, well, we're going to put this off to the table because, number one, folks, this is the beauty of it. This is why I love listening to all the alleged experts out there. Folks, the lawsuit that Sterling has against the NBA is still on the docket, kids. It has not been dropped. So when people say it's been dropped, they're pretty stupid, first of all. Second, you know, this deal is, if we know and if we see it, it's going to go through whether he wants to or not. But Big Dog, I'm not sure what you wanted to ask me. Can you ask me one more time what the commentary is? Because it looks like the deal for the team is done. Has the league already voted and approved? I know they did a voice vote.
Yeah, no, they haven't done the approval on that. But my question to you was, they said that he has to sign off on the sale. My question to you is, why does he have to sign off on a sale if it has already been proven that he has this mental capacity problem and Shelley Sterling is now in charge of the trust? Why does Donald Sterling then have to sign off on the sale of the team?
Well, if he signs off on the sale of the team, and even Sonny can back me up on this one, if you get him to sign off, while you signed off and you were in 100% mental faculties, you cannot come back later and say, oh, well, no matter what you say, I still have a claim because I was not well at the time. And, you know, there are laws here in California, for instance. Did you guys know, and I know this for a fact, as a California notary, there are situations where when it comes to property, as a notary, very few people know this, and that's why I think there are a lot of crooked notaries out there. Under California law, you are supposed to, when you are witnessing the document, the only time the notary has to do something is you ask the senior citizen and say, do you know what you are signing? And do you know what the ramifications to this are? And it's talking about real property and being hoodwinked. In California, you need to know what you're signing to. And, you know, right now, if he doesn't sign off on it, even though he's lost controlling interest, he is still an owner, dude. And he still has to sign off on it. And it's better for everyone that he signs off on it. If he signs off on it, his lawsuit could conceivably go away. If he doesn't sign off on it, then there may be, he may still have the ability to still bring suit. Actually, you can bring suit whenever you want. But he could come back later and say, well, I was not of the right mind, and you guys, you certain person, you know what, you stole it from me. So, what are the rules in the NBA Constitution, and what are the rules in the Sterling Trust? We don't know all the rules, guys. We rarely ever will.
Mm-hmm.
If, in fact, you see, now, remember, if we go by what we've been told, the decision that he's been stated as crazy or mentally incapacitated doesn't mean he's lost ownership. It just means that he's lost the ability to make the decision. That's the way the trust was designed. And it was designed not only for dad, but for mom and for everyone. If someone is incapable of making decisions, then they can say, hey, you know what, you're not of right mind. Someone else can make those decisions. Those are normal in trust. That's actually pretty smart. But you're still an owner. You guys know what I mean? You guys see mm-hmm. the argument? So...
It's just like if Sam Walton, before he passed away, was a loony bin, and it doesn't mean that he's not an owner of Walmart anymore. It's just what it is. It's just a situation where he just doesn't get a lot of say in what's going on in the day-to-day practices of Walmart.
Yeah. So
he'll keep collecting his check, though.
Still,
yep.
Yeah, guys, they can actually still go ahead. But this takes a lot longer to say that he's incapable of either making the decision, then that's gonna be drawn out a little bit. That can be.
Yeah.
But we don't know what's in the family trust instructions, and we'll never know, guys. We'll never know. So there are a few ifs. So it's in the best interest of him signing off on it. And if everyone made the deal, the NBA it's 50-50, guys. Does Silver have the balls to stand up to him and say, no, you are suspended for life, and you owe us $2.5 million? Okay? There you go. What's going to happen, guys? There are a few questions. The NBA can then still move forward and say, okay, well, then we're going to strip you of ownership. Well, guess what? If they're going to make that move, I think Clippers will be sold, and it's possible that Sterling could lose out on a whole lot of money. Guys, this is awesome brinksmanship. There are a lot of what-ifs here. No one has the answers, guys. It's going to be interesting. Sterling just said, well, hold on a minute. I want this stuff fixed. Will the NBA blink? If they don't, it's going to be thrown back at Sterling. Are you going to blink? And if you, you know, hey, this is entertaining stuff, guys. Brian.
Is he there?
He's on mute. Brian, you're here still, aren't you? There you are. You got two phone lines on my switchboard. Brian, where are you? Okay, Sonny Clark.
There's something wrong with Blog Talk Radio.
No, don't say that. That's not possible.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that. Damn.
It ain't so, Sonny. But go ahead.
Well, you know, this whole situation, it's one of those really, you know, I get back to the fact that if they were smart, they would just cut their losses with this guy. It doesn't do any good for them now, especially. I mean, especially. They got what they want. So back off the other stuff. I'm telling you, if they want to get away from association, they need to get Donald Sterling out of the main part of the news before next season. And how they do it is just say, you know what, forget it. We'll go ahead and we'll back off it. But here's another thing that is the big problem on that what might stop them from doing it. Money's already been promised to a charity, okay? Money has already been sponsored to a $2.5 million charity that is supposed to work in diversity and all this other stuff. Okay, so there's basically a verbal contract for monies to be given to somebody else. That NBA needs to swallow the $2.5 million to Sterling, take it out of the pocket, and get rid of Sterling. They have got to. This is going to be a story for a long time if they don't. They need to get rid of it, and I think it's a big mistake for them not to.
Dream, go ahead.
Screw Sterling.
Okay, that's pretty easy. Big Dog, your last one's on that, Big Dog. Look, Sonny's right, man. They need to do it, but, you know, what are they going to do in this case? Are they going to stick by their guns? Look, this, you know, Sonny, I appreciate what you're saying about them having to get rid of them, and it is in the best interest of them getting rid of them. But the reality is, if these boys went back and read their contracts, all of a sudden, them saying that, well, you know, I'm not going to play for a racist. Well, you did. You did play for a racist. You played games. And I'm talking about, well, we all know he said what he said, which if you listen to them, you know, you can infer what you want. I finally did listen to the tape. You know, I hear what I hear. And knowing the situation, yeah, this was a weak 80-year-old guy telling his girl, you're making me look bad, woman. So, I know what it is.
Why did the NBA fine him? What did he do to get fined that much money?
They fined him because immediately a whole bunch of sponsors dropped out.
Well, that's their problem. I mean, I'm not agreeing with what the guy did. I mean, he was in the privacy of his own home, but the NBA thinks they can just fine people $2.5 million. They're insane. I would sue the hell out of the NBA if I was Sterling.
Well, he did $1 billion, and the suit is not gone yet. So there you guys go. You know, there are clauses, there are restrictions, there are things that you can do. Look, guys, you're all in to make profit. And the rules are, you can't make me look bad, and you can't make the game look bad. Well, guess what? There's question on what Sterling did. did he make the game look bad? Well,
oh, of course he did.
He made the game look bad?
No, he made
the NBA
bad.
Look bad as a whole. He is a detriment to the NBA in reality is what it's boiling down to.
See, here's the thing, guys. I know what Sonny said. I get it. But Sterling does not represent the NBA. He never has, never will. And again, going to everyone that is east of California, again, we know who Sterling is, and it never changes. We continue to buy tickets. We continue to do what we would do. And, you know, it was acknowledged. Everyone in an uproar that he said what he did. He said it in private. I'm not going to defend the guy. But he's never represented the NBA. He never has. He is an owner. He is a part of the association. So all these
Keeper, you know that if you're wearing a work shirt or a name badge or anything, you are tied to the company. You know, you are the face of the company. You're what the public sees and when you are representing the company, regardless of what your stance is. Like, I mean, I work in retail, and we have groups of kids come help from time to time. They have to wear a name badge while they're helping. Even though they don't work for our company, they're helping and they're doing work in our store. And since they have a name badge on, they are representing our store. So if somebody, they piss somebody off and we get a complaint, we have to be responsible for that complaint, and we have to take ownership of that, just like the NBA has to take ownership of Sterling. Even though, you know, he's an owner, he gets his money like everybody else does, you know, but he's still representing the NBA, even though he's not, like, an employee of them, you know, he's still representing them, you know, and there was another point I wanted to make, but I'm just so surprised and astonished and aghast. I mean, enormously rich man out there with no morals and no ethics.
Guys,
I can't believe it.
You're right, Dream. Those rules apply to us 100%. Hold on a minute. You goddamn pussy, get the hell out of here. I keep locking them out and they keep getting back in. Unbelievable. I'm trying to keep them out of the garage.
Your kids too?
Hold on, Dream. You're right. Those rules apply to you. They apply to me. They apply to Brian. They apply to Big Dog. But we're not owners. And owners, look at Ursay, apparently they're above it. The owners are above it. So, yes, those rules apply to us. Do they apply to the NBA owners? They should. Did Sterling make the league look bad? Yes. So much so that the advertisers pulled out. They pulled out because there was a lover's quarrel and everyone called it racist. That's what happened, guys. It was a lover's quarrel that was called racist. So, what are you going to do right there? Dream, you're right. If an employee does that, we have to take ownership. But owners, well, Chick-fil-A, guys. Look at Chick-fil-A.
Okay.
Homophobic. And life still goes on.
But they have the most amazing chicken sandwiches, man. You can't fight that.
Okay. All right, right. But I believe the argument should be what it is. Employees are employees, and they're liable for what they're liable for. If an owner does what he does, do you know how to fix it? The only way to fix it, don't go to the game. Don't pay him money. So
no, that's not
going to
happen. That's not realistic.
Then you know what, Sonny Clark? Then hypocrisy. And damn to everyone else because they're not willing to be in that argument. Because
well, I agree with you on that part. That part, you're right. That part, you're right. But
you know what? Forget everything else. You want Sterling out of the league? Don't go to the game. Get manager money. And what did I tell you? I said no one's going to do it because they are effing hypocrites. So here it is, guys. This is the argument. Brian is right. If you believe this guy is, don't go. If you believe he is... I'm sorry, no, I apologize. If he is, you don't go to the game. Otherwise, this is a personal conversation that shouldn't even be out there. Shouldn't be.
But you can't deny that it is out there. You can't deny that it is out there.
Thank you, Sonny Clark, and it is. So what do? You don't watch the games. You don't pay for them. But everyone is watching. Everyone is paying. If you have one thief in the group, then they're all thieves. You want to get Sterling out today, everyone should not go. Because Sterling is getting money from the playoffs, folks. You stupid hypocrites.
Yeah, and he made $2 billion on a sale, he will, which he paid, what, $500,000 for it? Great return on your investment.
Actually, it was about $12 million. But, guys, right now, Sterling is going to make money off this playoffs. He still is, up until where the Clippers were made out, you know, where they were kicked out. He's still making money. So everyone who is on the other side calling him a racist, if you're watching the game, you know, you're paying him money.
You're okay with that.
Yes. So,
I disagree.
And that's my thing. The what?
I have to disagree that you support him, or, you know, if you watch it, that means you support what he does. That you can support your team, your players. If anybody should have done anything, it would have been the players, not the fans. I mean, if the players didn't show up, the fans would, you know, they would be pissed if, you know, they want money back and everything. But if my favorite team, just say Auburn, the coach did something like that, I would still go to the game the next week. I mean, I still support the team. Now,
well, you know what, Brian? Guess what? That's where you and I draw the line. Because when baseball did what it did in 1994, I did not go to a baseball game in 1995 because I did not want my money to go to the owners. I made the decision that I don't agree, I'm not going. Guys, you have to look inside your soul, inside your very selves. It's either
part of the solution, you're part of the problem.
Roger, there are racists out there that don't say they are. So, I mean, unless they vocalize it, you don't know. And, I mean, it's just like if I had to worry about what people did and to enjoy sports, hell, I would never watch it.
So that's interesting. But no, Brian, with respect, let us revisit the alleged racist Donald Sterling. You yourself said this was a private conversation, so I'm really kind of surprised you're taking this path. You don't support the guy. The only way you get him out is you don't pay him. How do you squeeze a racist? You put him out of business.
Yeah, true.
Easier said than done.
Why, Sonny?
Well, it's just because the simple fact. Here's a couple of things. And I'm going to say this because it makes sense. It probably don't to others. But if I am a season ticket holder, I've already bought my ticket to go to this game, okay, and I'll put this out there. What he said is disgusting, but I've already got my money in it. And there's no way I'm getting that money back, okay? So if I support the team, I don't necessarily have to support Donald Sterling in what he said, but if you're going to support the team, you're going to go to the game. Okay, you and I, we buy tickets, we're going to the game, okay? We got money vested into this, regardless of what Sterling said, all right? So if you break it down to the brass knucks of the broke man, not the rich man, okay, we can talk about all the rich men. If they want to walk away from the game and not go to it and throw away thousands of dollars in those high-rise seats, that's one thing. But for us, the broke man, okay, we're going to the game because we've already paid for the ticket. Now, if we haven't gotten a ticket, then we go, then you're the hypocrite. But if you got money invested in it and you're broke as I am, okay, all right, I'm going to the game and I'm going to support the team. I'm not necessarily supporting what Donald Sterling said or his beliefs.
Or you sue the Clippers or you sue Donald Sterling for making you for not letting you go to the game because you don't want to be put into that situation because you live in California and you know how to sue people.
Drew, a big dog. Come in on it. Don't sit on the sidelines, Cal. Don't you leave me hanging on this one.
That's a poor lynching pun. Okay.
Big dog, where are you? He's hiding.
Maybe, I think there might be something wrong with the switchboard. He may have had to bail.
I've got him on the switchboard, just like Brian.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Hey, Roger, I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm not trying to. Your opinion and everything, but.
Brian, I never said that you said I was wrong. I said, I'm surprised that you're taking a stance contrary to me on this all of a sudden. That's what I said.
All of a sudden. What do you mean all of a sudden? I've always had the same stance. I mean, the guy's a racist. What he said was behind closed doors and never meant to get out. But how many other conversations in the NBA are happening right now that aren't being recorded that, hell, nobody would go to a sporting event if you really knew the skeletons in the closets of these guys? I mean, I go to sports because I love sports. And I wouldn't give a shit if Donald Sterling died this moment. And if I was a Clippers fan, I'd still go to the game. The players are the ones that have to really look at it. And if they're going to make a stand, their voice is the only one that's going to be heard. I mean, fans are, like Sonny said, they bought season tickets. They've already paid $500 for the ticket. They're going to the damn game. And
yep.
I mean, no matter what, and that's really what it is. Do you support the players and your team, or do you support Sterling? And I know you're thinking if you support the team, you are supporting Sterling because he's the owner. But I just don't see it that way, and I could be wrong, but that's just the way I see it.
Well, guess
yeah,
what,
it would have been
boys.
Nice to see the players make more of a stance other than just, you know, flip their jerseys inside out.
I agree.
I think it would have been nice to see them, like, come onto the court and then sit down.
Yeah.
You know, and just say, you know what, screw you, we're not playing. We're here because we have to be here.
Fans are followers, guys. That's really what they are. They're followers.
Yeah, well, they're followers. But guess what, guys? I'm in this battle every day, and it's not against Sterling. I'm against many things, and I take the stand, and I keep the stand all the time. And the one thing is my money is not going to go to those people that do not support what I feel is appropriate. I've done it from day one, and I'm going to continue. So
if you pay $500 a ticket, though, to go see that game scorekeeper already, then the story breaks out that he's a racist and what he does. Do you still go to the game, or you say, well, you know, that's not good enough for me. I got $500 invested in this. You know, okay, I'll just throw away the $500. That's the only point that I'm making, okay?
Well,
yeah.
Tell it for $750.
Would you still go to the game if you had $500 wrapped up in that game for you to go?
You know what, Sonny? I do one of several things. I'm not going to be caught going to the game because, look, I'm not going to do the what-if because I'm not in the what-if. Because, number one, I've never been a Clipper. I've never paid for a Clipper ticket, and I won't pay for a Clipper ticket. I mean, come on. Jesus Christ. Buying a Clipper ticket? I mean, who the hell buys a Clipper? Oh, that's right. Non-Laker fan. Oh, that's right.
Then just change the scenario and ask yourself the same question if you were a Laker fan.
For a while,
fan.
I thought you used to get Clipper tickets and Happy Meals.
You're avoiding the question. You're avoiding the question.
I just told you, I'm not going to the game. I'm going to sell my tickets.
If you got $500 invested into that game and those tickets, you're not going to go to the game.
You're going to sell the ticket, which is more hypocritical than going to the damn game.
Why? I got my money back. I got my money back, and my money didn't go to the owner. Someone else's money went to the owner. My money didn't go.
Plus
guys,
profit. It's the American way.
I don't shop at Walmart. Do you know why I don't shop at Walmart? Because they squeeze the employees and encourage them to go on welfare.
So not only
is Walmart screwing me twice, they're doing it with a freaking little ball smile. I don't go there, and I will not go there. And this isn't a show.
I go every time.
Yeah, well, Merry Christmas to you, Sonny Claus.
I got a quick little side on Walmart. If you ever want to look up something very disturbing, look up the poor peasants policy. I guess what Walmart and other top companies throughout the world do. They take out insurance policies on life insurance policies on employees without them knowing it.
And when they
pass or when they die, based off of whatever information they have, health insurance wise, they end up collecting large amounts of money. An example of that: one guy had his wife die, and they both worked for the company. And he found out later on he couldn't even afford to give her a proper funeral. And he found out that Walmart collected over $1 million on her life insurance. And he called to find out what was going on. He called the life insurance place or whatever paid out the policy. He's like, yeah, they paid it out, you know, because this lady died and Walmart had the insurance policy on her. And he saw not one dime of that money. So, I mean, this is just something that top companies do, and it's like this is something that Walmart has done as well.
It's genius.
You know, they just don't give a crap. They just wait for their people to die and
they
buy policies on them.
It's business genius, and it's horrible.
Exactly. It is, and I agree. I think it's disgusting, but being a business owner, I can understand
that's
why
genius.
They think it's so. You know,
yeah.
I understand why they take insurance.
The husband should have an insurance policy as well.
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
but the fact, but it wasn't like she was older or anything. This was just like a random death, you know. And they both worked at Walmart. You know what kind of money they were making?
Yeah,
well,
they weren't high level Walmart employees, you know. This is something that, you know, these are just two people that worked at Walmart, you know, in
hey,
a store level.
You know what? In the last few minutes, I'm going to see if I can call out the big dog because he's not in. So I'm going to see if I can get him in and call
him. I'm
going to
set up a show up on your channel, Scorekeeper, okay? I'm going to set up a show and we'll continue the conversation, continue talking sports.
I'm going to call the big
I'm
dog.
Right here.
Oh, he's right
here.
Oh,
you haven't answered.
Big dog.
Big dog, we were calling you and calling you a few moments ago.
No. Yeah, big dog. Where were you? Getting peanut butter?
Yeah.
I was listening intently at your conversation.
Baloney. Because I called you several times and said, big dog, don't leave me right here, and you didn't answer. Were you taking
he was down? Asleep.
Were you pulling a Jeff Ferguson on us?
No.
You were.
Well, ask the big dog.
God.
Big dog, if you had money into the clips, if you had the tickets already purchased and then that story came out,
oh,
would you have gone to the game?
Well, first of all, I would never buy – I would buy –
I know you would never do it.
Yes,
I know.
Yes, I would because I don't have the money to throw away. That if
exactly.
I were to buy tickets, whether it be a baseball game, football game, whatever game, I don't have enough money to say I'm just not going to go because I don't agree. Yes, I don't agree with him. I think he's a big piece of shit, but I would still go to the game because I already have money invested, and I'm unfortunately not going to miss because if I paid for it, I'm going.
Yeah. And that don't make you a bad person. It just makes you a realist of your own money. You know, you can't – I can't afford to be thrown away. If my intention is to go to a game, you know, it's one of the – hey, I'm going to tell you right now. It's one of the reasons why I don't take a step into an NFL stadium, a NBA stadium, or major league stadiums. I don't do it anymore. And the reason being, first of all, they're just ridiculous. If I had that kind of money to put into that, okay, you know, and to where I could walk away, then I would be rich. I'm not rich by any stretch of the mean. So I go to minor league games. If this happened on a minor league thing, I could walk away from it and it makes sense. But That having been said, people, the rich people and all that, not turning their back up on it, they can afford those tickets and they can afford to throw away the money. They're the hypocrites. The real people are not the hypocrites, because they're the real people of the world that struggle day to day, that support the product, don't necessarily support the ownership.
Wow. Okay, yep. Hold on a minute, folks. That's a very slippery slope, because
I know it is. I know it's a slippery slope.
No, Sonny, I mean, here's, you see, and this is why I live living in a white and black world, and there is no gray in my world. Because guess what? You said you support the product. You support the product. Well, guess what? An owner, allegedly, I have to be careful because Sterling does sue the crap out of everyone. That's why I keep saying allegedly. Notice, I've never called him a rat. I always say allegedly. Okay? Hey, guys, in Southern California, the only person that really scares anyone is Donald Sterling, because he sues the crap out of everyone. He does. We know this. So from day one, I said, hey, guys, be cool. He sues bloggers. He goes after everyone. So anyway, guys, he is an owner of that product. And if you buy a ticket, he, whether it be an infinitesimal penny, he's getting money. So I do draw a line, and I will draw that line. So fine, Sonny, I acknowledge that you say the poor guy, different from the one centers. I get it. But did those dumb bastards even try to get their money back? I did not hear a story of anyone that demanded their money.
They played
back.
The game.
Not
they played,
one,
they played the game.
Not a one.
Hey, they played the
not
game.
A
they
one.
Were, listen, they played the game. If you don't want to go, hey, they've already played the game, and they were going to play that game, which was the thing. If anybody can afford, and I say this, and I mean it, if the players are the ones that should have walked away from this. Now, granted, everybody's saying, well, the players got to make their money. Well, you know what? Missing one game or a playoffs isn't going to cost them money. Okay, more so than the broke guy. Okay,
guys, you know what? I'm having flashbacks right now, Sonny Clark. I'm having flashbacks that I'm in a strike year, or no, I'm in a contract year. And I'm going to say it right now. This is a pussy conversation, because in January, I'm already telling the boys, hey, ladies, in October, our contract is up. You better start putting your money aside in the event we go on a strike. And do you know what all those little effing pussies did? Oh, Rogers calling, strike it. Oh, F him and F. I'm like, oh, no. I said, I don't want to hear any of you pussies later saying you can't go on a strike because you can't afford it. F you all. This is January. Get ready for it. Because I don't want to hear any of you pussies coming up with any excuse. And you know what? In January, the little pussies flipped out because I knew they wouldn't walk. And I knew it was all talk. Let me tell you something, Sonny Clark. All these people that are saying, throwing rocks from a distance, that they're full of hate because of this guy, you know what? The ones that are watching are the biggest hypocrites of all. The ones that are going are the biggest hypocrites of all, because they didn't even try to get their money.
No. It just depends on what you feel about the little people. I'm sorry. I have to separate the whole thing. And the reason why is because
Mr. Clark,
when people – you don't go into – if you bought that ticket before this guy mouthed off and said what he said, scorekeeper, if you buy the ticket before, you can afford it, or you're trying to afford it, okay? But here's the thing. You can't afford not to go. That's not a fair statement how you say put your money to the side. We're talking about one single incident as far as the NBA is concerned. And little
and
people such as me
can't
afford to make that kind
back,
of decision.
Sonny. They didn't even try to get their money back. They didn't even
bother. No, because the game was played. It wouldn't have mattered. The game was played. It wouldn't have mattered. They wouldn't have got their money back.
You know, it's funny, Sonny Clark, because when we were having this conversation that Saturday, thank you, Brian, for bringing us the news on that day, and I famously said, yeah, and, you know, all of us in L.A. already know this. But my words were pretty clear back then. I said, the players have to play, and the fans cannot go. The players have to protect their salary because they have to under the law. If they pretend to say that they did not know that he was, whatever. But they have to play. The fans, you want to get Sterling out, the fans must not go, period. And there it is. So, Sonny Clark, you asked me the thing. I would do everything I could to get out of there, to not go. You know, the only thing I can say is that you, Sonny Clark, and you, Brian, don't know, but Dream and Big Dog, they've seen me pull stuff like this in the past. I'm not just saying it, Sonny. And first of all, Dream, you, Brian, Big Dog, and myself, we are the working guy. And I'm not making excuses for my fellow working guy. I am a working class guy. I fully admit it. I don't make $87,000 a year. Oh, yeah, folks, $87,000 middle class. Deal with it. You call yourself middle class, you're stupid. All right? We're all working class guys. I don't make excuses for my working class. I am part of it. I fully admit it. I am not going to say, well, it's okay in this situation. No.
Now, I have a question for all of you. Had Clipper Nation made a stand, had everybody, I mean, players sat down or not played or showed up and not played or didn't show up or whatever, and you give and you do not go to that game, how much would that ticket have been worth to say I was part of something? I was part of a movement.
Oh.
You know? Because
I mean,
I'm just saying, like, that's something to think about too, you know, because this is the day that this happened. You know, now granted the Clippers went on to play and everything else, but had the word got out and went viral and said, hey, nobody's gonna show up, we're gonna make a stand, or we're gonna make a stand in front of the arena, you know, then at least you could have been part of something and still gotten some kind of value for your ticket even though you weren't watching the game. You know, but I think it would have been interesting had something major happened. You know, what if everybody shows up and instead of walking into the gate, they walk up to the gate and rip their ticket up and say, F you, Sterling.
You just lost $500.
Yeah, well, I mean, some kind of stand was made. You know, you could have been part of something special. Me, I wouldn't be caught dead going to a Clipper game, personally, even now. I'm just saying, like, that was a major lost opportunity where people that had tickets could have stood for something. You know, people that didn't have tickets could have stood for something. You know, and I think as a state, as a collection of human beings, I think we kind of failed on that. You know, we still showed up. We still, you know, went through the motions of seeing the game. You know, we didn't take our opportunity to make a stance. And that's kind of rare for California because California loves making a big shitstorm about everything. You know, you're making me work 5 hours without a break. Oh, my God, I'm going to die. You know, but no, we can have all sorts of crazy comments, you know, and they go around. And, you know, I think we kind of missed the boat as fans of the sport. You know, I wish a bigger deal would have been made about this because then the seriousness of what took place, it's not just some guy making a comment, you know, and it accidentally got recorded. You know, until everybody's free, no one is free. You know, until the entire problem is solved, you know, we all should continue to fight to solve it. You know,
yeah,
I think
that's true.
Yeah, but you
can't do that. I mean, Sterling's a racist regardless if you go to that game or not. I mean,
correct.
He's still a racist. He's not going to change the way he feels. So, really, what good did you do by not going?
Yeah, but Brian, you're forgetting something. You bought that ticket under the auspices that you were going to go see a Clipper game. Now you know he's a racist, or allegedly. What do you do as a fan?
Why should the fan have to do it, though?
You
the fan, the fans are not the millions of dollars. Why should they have to be out the money? Why can't the players?
Exactly.
Why can't
hey, guys.
Everybody should have, and nobody did.
Hold on a minute. The sponsors pulled. That's big money. They lost their seats at the games because they pulled out.
They can afford it.
They're rich. They're rich.
Okay, but a little while ago, that's a little bit contradictory to what the conversation was a little while ago.
Well,
the point is, they
let's take it into the next hour.
Not at all.
Scorekeeper, let's take it into the next hour. Because we're about ready to lose you. I set up the show.
I don't give a fuck what Sterling is or does. I could care less.
Okay. And you know what, Brian? I heard that. And I hear it clearly. And I appreciate that.
He doesn't affect me at all.
You just said you know what he is, and you could care less. Okay.
No, exactly. I could care less what the guy does. He doesn't impact me. He's a moron. I mean, I have no...
He doesn't impact you. Well, indirectly, he does. If we're going to talk about the product, he does indirectly impact the product. So,
that's the problem with this industry.
Sonny Clark, are you going to call in as a host?
You want me to? I will.
Knock yourself out, please. My phone's about to die. There it is.
All right, cool.
We're at 90 seconds. Everyone who wants to continue, please join us. We're going to continue this. And Cuervo, who is in the chat room, should and please call in. All right, guys, we're done. Sonny Clark, call in. We're out of here.